Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's Mother's Day 2024 in the UK, and a worldwide scandal is about to shake the British royal family. Everything starts with a cute family photo. You've probably seen it. It's a photo of a woman around 40 years old, smiling and lovingly surrounded by her three children, aged between 5 and 10 years old. It was the first official photo published of Catherine, Princess of Wales, flanked by her children after months of absence from the public scene. You probably know what happened next. Major press agencies quickly removed the photo, as it turns out it had been manipulated. The royal family acknowledges it was edited, and conspiracy theories about the whereabouts and well-being of the princess explode on social media. By the time you listen to this episode, you'll probably know there was no such scandal. Kate was exactly where she was said to be from the very beginning, on sick leave. The rest was a product of the frenzy of our overexposed society. But this is a different story from the one I want to tell you about. It's the metadata of the photo that I want to focus on. Investigations run by British media such as the BBC and Sky News revealed the image was taken with a digital camera using a Canon lens at Adelaide Cottage, the family's home in Windsor. They also found it was saved twice on photo editing software Adobe Photoshop, using an Apple Mac computer. They even managed to spot the times at which it was saved, the first version on the 8th of March at 9:54pm GMT, and the second on the 9th of March at 9:39am. Almost everything we do these days leaves a long trail of data. Think about what you did yesterday with your phone. Did you look for an address? Did you order food? Did you read the newspaper? Did you listen to a podcast? Did you open an app or take a photo? It's all registered. Today, it's almost impossible to live without leaving a digital footprint. Like Kate's photo, you also produce your own long trail of data that can easily be traced back. Welcome to Euronews Tech Talks, the podcast delving into the digital, technological and scientific landscape shaping Europe. I'm your host, James Thomas. In this special episode, we travel to Vienna, the capital of Austria, to attend the Fundamental Rights Forum 2024. Why? Well, one of the main topics of this event is how to ensure rights-compliant digitalisation. In other words, if everything we do leaves a very long trail of data, how can we be sure this digital footprint is protecting us and not contributing to the violation of our privacy? We're at Vienna's Town Hall. This is day two of the Fundamental Rights Forum. Today, the focus is on the challenge of balancing security and rights in the digital world. Here, EU countries follow GDPR, a landmark privacy law which came into force in 2018, ensuring individuals' data protection. It applies worldwide to organisations handling EU residents' data, setting strict rules for consent, transparency and security. Non-compliance leads to hefty fines. To discuss this challenging balance between data and privacy, we meet Wojciech Wiewiórowski, one of the experts in Vienna. He is the European Data Protection Supervisor, the watchdog for data protection issues at EU institutions.
A European Data Protection Supervisor is the supervisor of the EU institutions, bodies and agencies as far as the data protection rules are concerned. Each of the countries of the European Union has its own data protection authority, that's the national jurisdiction, let's say, and there is the 28th jurisdiction, which is the jurisdiction for the EU institutions, bodies and agencies. But apart from the normal work as the supervisory authority, we are also the main advisor in the legislative process of the European Union. So how our colleagues on the national level are advising their governments and their parliaments, and we advise to the Commission, to the Council and to the European Parliament.
Hours before speaking with Wojciech, the institution he leads announced the results of its latest investigation. The European Commission breached EU rules in its use of Microsoft 365, including those regarding transfers of personal data outside the EU or European Economic Area. In its contract with Microsoft, the Commission did not sufficiently specify what types of personal data are to be collected and for what purposes.
And funny enough, it meant that also my institution is in breach of the European law. The Commission that was negotiating for all the institutions was not in the position to really negotiate the rules that were in the contract. And some of them were far away from the standard that was set by the GDPR, by General Data Protection Regulation, and by the similar regulation for the EU institutions. So we started the investigation. The investigation around the Windows services finished already in 2021, but it was followed by the one about Microsoft Office. And that's the one that we finished today. And, actually on Friday, we sent the decision to the European Commission, finding that there are the parts of the contract and then also the services that are in use, which are in breach of the European law, especially as far as the transfer of data to the so-called third countries, so the countries which have different law than the European Union are concerned. And we decided to put the reprimand to the Commission, but also to suspend the flows of the data to the third countries which are not covered by so-called adequacy decisions, I will say in a while what does it mean, which means that they are not on the list of the countries recognized as having the similar equivalent data protection law as the European one.
The EU has adequacy agreements with Andorra, Argentina, Canada, the Faroe Islands, Guernsey, Israel, the Isle of Man, Japan, Jersey, New Zealand, South Korea, Switzerland, the UK, the US and Uruguay. For data flows with other countries, EU companies and institutions first need to establish safeguards for its use through data protection authorities.
These obligations of the European Union and the European Commission will be fully applicable from December this year.
It's not the first time the European Data Protection Supervisor has issued a warning to a European institution.
The European institutions work on the basis of the special General Data Protection Regulation similar law, but also on the basis of the laws which are for certain sectors of activities, for example, for law enforcement activities. And Europol had a huge problem with the data which was sent by the member states in order to exchange information about the terrorist attacks and things connected with these terrorist attacks.
In 2022, it ordered Europol, the European Union's law enforcement agency, to erase all data concerning individuals with no established link to criminal activity. Data classified as sensitive within their database originates from crime reports, extracted from encrypted phone services through hacking, and gathered from asylum seekers who have not been implicated in any criminal activity.
Which actually forced the EU institutions, the Commission and the Europol itself, to solving the problem and to establishing the new ways of exchanging which data belongs to the victims, which data belongs to witnesses, which belongs to the perpetrators, which belongs to the lawyers involved in the case.
The European Data Supervisor also keeps an eye on Frontex, the EU border management agency.
In the case of Frontex, there are several things which we are dealing with. mainly connected with the very complicated relations that Frontex has with the national authorities in the countries where the migration problems arise. That's not the problem with all the countries and all the actions made by Frontex, but especially those that are connected with the migrant crisis. This year, together with the Hellenic Authority, so the Greek Data Protection Authority, we made the investigation connected with the so-called debriefing interviews, the interviews done with the migrants at the very moment when they arrive to the hotspots and to the camps at the border. And we found out that this is the operation in which the Frontex officers, together with the local border guards, are collecting information from the people who are not fully informed about their legal positions. And theoretically, with their consent, the data is collected, sent to the national authorities, and then resent to the Europol. All these operations have to be checked. And we have the list of the recommendations for the Frontex as the agency, how to process them, having the human rights of the migrants in the consideration.
And what does the European Data Protection Watchdog do when it comes to accepting cookies? Those small files websites leave on your computer to track your visit.
The European legislation about cookies is one of the most outdated regulations that we have in the European law. The so-called e-privacy directive shall be changed already 5 or 6 years ago. Unfortunately, we still don't have this solution. Yes, I do accept cookies, but unfortunately, it does not solve the problem. It does not even explain the problem, because cookies is only one of the tracking tool that is right now in use and not the most invasive as far as the privacy protection is concerned.
In Vienna, we also met with Agnès Diallo, the head of EULISA, the European Union agency responsible for managing large-scale IT systems related to freedom, security and justice within the EU.
Our role is essentially to implement the policies that have been decided by our political masters and to make them real through digital. And so we take care essentially of the backbone of technology in the Schengen space. Let me give you a couple of examples. So when a foreigner comes into the Schengen space, you should know that the EU is the first go-to region in the world. There are about 750 million people that travel to the Schengen space. And that is way beyond the US, and it's also forerunner to China. Anytime somebody needs a visa and comes to the Schengen space, they go through a similar process, whether they apply to Poland, to France, or to Spain. To do that, they apply through a system that is called the V system that serves to unify the access through to the Schengen space by allowing people to ask for a similar visa, a similar process wherever they are. That's one example. Another example is a very used system that's called the Schengen Information System. It is a system that has more than 90 million alerts. So you can think of an alert as something that corresponds to an object. Whether it's a car, it can be the car plate if it's a car. It can also be some description of an individual. In recent months, in fact, there was a case of child abduction that was abducted by his parents that was seeking to, in fact, conduct a, let's say, religious procedure on the child. Obviously, the child needed to be saved, and it is thanks through the alerts that were signaled on the Schengen information systems that the child could be found through a cooperation between the Spanish and the French police.
The heart of their technological system is biometrics.
I'd like to mention that as part of our work, we are going through an upsurge of digital tools the EU is relating and referring more and more to digital systems to be able to do what it has to do, to enable people to see their work be easier, and the policemen, whether the border guards, to have easier tools and easier access to information. And so we're building a number of systems. I would like to name them because they are going to be part of every European's life in the year ahead. The first one is the entry-exit system. The system is going to create a real border management system at the borders of Schengen, and importantly, it will allow the border guards to digitalize the way they work today. When you're going to cross a Schengen frontier tomorrow, there will be no more stamping. Tomorrow, that is going to be digitalized, and with that, a number of values, in particular, you will have automatic computation of the entry and exit date of people so that a number of items, including overstayers, will be able to be better traced. We're also going to develop a system called the ETIAS system, which is similar, close to when you travel to North America, you already have prior information, prior authorization to allow you to come into the countries, whether the U.S. or Canada. Those systems are, in fact, a way to help travelers and to fluidify their passage when they come to the frontier. Because if you're pre-authorized, then it takes less time to allow you to come into the space. And finally, what we're also doing is we're helping the digitalization of justice. The EU justice systems is going through a large aspiration and a large journey of digitalization. And we are already helping that space, that community, with bringing more technologies to the way they work on a daily basis.
And storing such a quantity of data comes with a huge responsibility.
The first thing is that all of the systems that we develop are first and foremost based on a legal framework. And this legal framework incorporates high levels of aspiration, high level of compliance with the GDPR framework of the European Union. In addition to that, we are regularly checked by the European DPS. The European Data Protection Service oversees the work that we do, and they do that before we actually start the system to make sure that it is compliant by design, but also when it's working. Along the way, we get regularly checked by the EDPS. Another such way that we have supervisory for the work we do is that we have, for instance, in the ETIAS system we're developing, a fundamental rights board that makes sure that the way the system is being developed, the way it's being implemented, is actually absolutely compliant with the requirements of the EU and the EU values.
For Agnès Diello, these are the main digital challenges ahead.
I think as we look at the variety of areas, whether it's justice or travel or safety or security, we will see an increased recourse to digital. And it will be important, in particular for EULISA, to be able to address that rise in demand by building up its ability to support the EU and to deliver better solutions, more solution in support of the value that we intend to bring to the EU citizen, while doing that in full compliance with its mandate and also respect of people's privacy and security.
And does she accept cookies?
In fact, I check. That's what I do. It's a bit of an ordeal, but every time I actually check the cookies, and I have to say that I usually not accept by default. I usually go into the menu and check the ones I want to contribute to, thereby, you know, actively exercising the legitimate power that this action gives each of us to decide what data you want to share or not.
That's it for this episode. Now it's up to you whether you accept or decline the cookies. I'm your host, James Thomas. The upcoming episode will focus on health tech, How are the latest technological advances having an impact on our well-being? What are health tech startups doing with our most precious data? This series is directed, written, and produced by Marta Rodriguez Martinez, reporting from Vienna, Austria, for this episode. Special thanks to the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights for hosting the recording of this special episode during the Fundamental Rights Forum 2024. The theme music is by Leo Lebrun. Sound editing is by Guillaume Carole, and sound mixing is by Mathieu Duchesne. Our editor-in-chief is Ali Ihsan Aydin. If you aren't already, you can listen to this series on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castbox, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and, of course, sharing it. Thanks for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.